you know, I've been a part of their lives. They've welcomed me in. I feel like I'm a honorary highway person.
Giving up the route after a decade and a half. The story of postal mail delivery in our isolated rural Alaska. And Haynesport stakeholders meet as a new group this week. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. The Haynesport Development Steering Committee meets for the first time Wednesday night. The new group operating under the Haynesboro is appointed to create a plan to rehabilitate, redesign, and construct a modern and expanded port facility at the Lutac Dock. The purpose behind it? Economic stimulus. The group was created by an assembly resolution and will include government representation, including the mayor of Haynes, two assembly members, a member of the planning commission, and representatives from the Yukon, Alaska Department of Transportation, and Chilkoot Indian Association. There are six seats for members of the business community, including shippers Alaska Marine Lines and Delta Western. Administrative staff will also sit on the committee with a hired consultant. Individuals serving on the ad hoc committee are Fred Gray, Michael Ganey, Roger Maynard, Scott Hansen, Chip Lendy, Doug Ulrud, and Assembly members Joanne Waterman and Deborah Schnabel. The first meeting is Wednesday, December 21st, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. in Assembly Chambers in the Public Safety Building in Haynes. When they said neither snow nor rain nor sleet nor hail shall keep the postmen from their appointed rounds, don't forget that also counts Southeast Alaska weather and its post women, too.
Sleet and rain and hail and all that. And this year, I mean, you know, generally I don't take off, you know, maybe one day a year that the weather prohibits me from driving.
To be more precise, that famous slogan about the post office counts Joni Wagner, the mail carrier who has delivered postcards, letters, bills, presents, you name it, to Upper Chilkat Valley residents for the past 14 years.
But in November, I was off 3 days. You know, because of the snow, just so much snow. I felt like a kid again listening on the radio. Oh, no mail today. Yahoo-ee, you know.
But the next time Joni isn't on her mail route, it won't be weather that's keeping her. Joni is a contract employee with USPS, and her contract comes up for renewal in just a few months.
Just kind of understood that every time it comes up for renewal that I will renew it. Well, this year I'm not going to renew it.
After nearly a decade and a half, she's putting away her Postal Service mailbag. She's carried 5 or 6 days a week since 1998. Back then, four local postmasters ago, there were about 7 employees in the Haynes Post Office, and stamps were 32 cents. Before that, mail delivery was only half as frequent, and John Brower delivered the mail.
You know, John had always talked about how fun it was and the people up there, and I just see him. And it is. It's a wonderful job. It's a wonderful job. Every day, the highways are different. You see different things. You see animals. The people up there are just wonderful, and it's, you know, challenging. And I'm outside, you know, and I like being outside a lot.
Southeast towns like ours don't have regular mail delivery. We use post office boxes for the most part. But if you live far enough from the Haynes Post Office and close enough to be a 99827 resident, Joni brings you your letters. But of course, if Joni brings you your letters, you likely already know it.
I just love the people up the highway. You know, I've been a part of their lives. They've welcomed me in. I feel like I'm a honorary highway person. You know, it's just been really nice. I've welcomed babies. You know, I've been visitors to new babies coming in. And I've seen, you know, like the fire the other day. I saw the fire and sat with a woman until an ambulance came one time. It was just... It's been one of those jobs that you just really become connected with the people, you know, that you serve. And they've been so sweet to me, you know, leaving me things, I shouldn't say this, in the mailbox.
She found a bottle of beer on her birthday one year, various cans of smoked salmon with no stamps on them, and other goodies throughout the years.
It's just, you know, they're very thoughtful people, and it's good. I'll miss them, but I'll be able to drive up there whenever I want and visit with them. And not have to work while I'm doing it.
Joni's route starts every weekday at the post office in Haynes. She picks up the sorted mail at the back entrance to the PO. Anything that says HC60-something on it means it's going up the highway. That used to be only about 60 people. But over the years, more and more residents from the Y intersection at the edge of town and on have put up a mailbox and requested an address from Joni.
And the box number, I try to go according to where their mile marker is kind of... It's loosely done. Although some people have asked me for their phone number, I've given them the same box as their phone number.
Now she has almost 200 addresses on her route. 200 families she tracks down to bring them everything from the most generic junk mail to their most anticipated parcels.
In order to get signatures or know where this person is at any given time, I know where they work, I know who their friends are, I know, you know, what they may be doing. Oh, yeah, so-and-so said they were going to be baking over at so-and-so's house, so I have to go there and get a signature or what, you know, it's just been, you know, it's a lot to keep straight in your mind.
Joni says she's thankful for Lee Galinsky and Sam Jackson, who help with the Chilkat Valley Mail Route, too. The rest of the PO staff and customers who have helped out over the years, assisting in changing a couple flat tires and keeping their dogs, famous, of course, for hating mail carriers, inside, including the Irish Wolfhound, who is found guilty of a few of those flat tires.
So we made this deal where if his flag was up, then I would come in the driveway. It meant that the dog was chained up and it was safe for me to come in the driveway. And so I wouldn't go in the driveway unless his flag was up. And and that worked out very well, very well. It was like our own little signal, you know. Yeah, so I want to thank everybody that helped me change tires back then.
Her next adventure doesn't require tires or a mail truck at all, but a sailboat to Skagway. Her daughter and former Haines resident, Katie Seveny, is an artist who has two successful art galleries in Anchorage already.
She's opening a gallery in Skagway. And so I'm going to get on my sailboat, sail to Skagway, and work in the gallery with my daughter. And it's just going to be a fun time. And I'm very excited to get over to Skagway and meet the folks that, you know, I've heard about on the radio and heard their news stories and listened to the DJs. And I'm just, yeah, I feel very blessed. It's going to be a fun time.
Joni Wagner is completing her Haines Highway Chilkat Valley Mail route in the spring, but she says she's not quitting those long drives up the highway.
Of course, I told him right from the start, you know, don't set your watch by me because there's so many variables. The road may be bad. I may have a lot of mail to deliver, and I may just feel like stopping and chatting with somebody for a while. And so, you know, I'm not on, and that's been the fun part of the job. I have not been on a strict, you know, minute by minute schedule. And when I do visit them, and I will, because they're my family, they're my friends up there, you know, up the highway. And I will come and visit, and I'll be able to spend quality time and tell of my adventures in Skagway. And I won't be bringing them bad or good news. It'll just be me. Yeah.
The massive earthquake that struck Japan in March of this year devastated parts of that country. But it could have caused even more damage if Japan hadn't had a high-tech early warning system. Now, Northwest scientists are beginning to install a network of sensors that could send out alerts when a megaquake is on its way. As journalist Bill Lasher found, North America's first earthquake alert system would be more sophisticated than the one in Japan.
Earthquakes are cacophonous, frightening affairs. Survivors of the 9.0 Tohoku quake in Japan might never forget the earth-shattering noise unleashed this spring. This videographer had the time to capture this noise in a YouTube video thanks to a 4-year-old earthquake warning system in Japan. The massive energy released from a subduction zone quake off the Japanese coast tripped the system's sensors. The alerts that went out stopped bullet trains and shut down factories. It also sent an automated countdown to the computers of residents like this videographer. The U.S. doesn't have a warning system like this. Now scientists in the Northwest are gearing up to build an even better array of sensors, says John Vidali. He heads the Pacific Northwest Seismic Network.
If we see the earthquake happening, we can tell people that big shaking is on the way and get them, in the best case, 3 or 4 minutes of warning.
A private foundation gave $2 million each to the University of Washington and two California universities for the warning system's first pieces. But even if scientists know an earthquake is starting, they're still studying how to deliver that message. That's why they're also talking with emergency managers about how to implement the warning network. Vidali says they won't adopt the system until they know it's accurate.
They're not even sure they want to receive the warnings yet, because receiving the warnings means they have to do the appropriate thing with them. And it's, you know, as easy to do harm as it is to do good if you have some news that has the potential for panic and overreaction.
The Northwest is prone to earthquakes as big as the ones that recently hit Japan, Chile, and New Zealand. This warning system is one way to prepare. Public outreach? That's another.
Once the shaking stops, that's pretty much when you run screaming from the building.
At a recent Portland event, about 24 people paid $5 each to roleplay as decision makers during a major subduction zone quake.
What would the basis be of triaging people as they come in?
Well, you kind of have to know where everybody lies because you have to figure out how much resources are you going to use.
That was Michael Gubler and Alexis Lightwine discussing how a fictional hospital might handle an influx of casualties after an imaginary quake. For 2 hours, attendees became government officials, hospital staff, scared neighbors, emergency managers, and even tenacious reporters. Organizer Eric Gebby says role-playing gives people a unique glimpse at how complicated it is to respond to a natural disaster.
You can have a lecture, you can give out flyers, and you're not sure what that does, but if you make the event itself fun, and they come to it and learn something and say, hey, we need to do more, you've created motivation and some learning, and they're going to teach us something from it. Other communities are doing all kinds of things, from forming emergency response teams, working on scenarios. Some are doing nothing, and they need to do more, though.
It won't happen. It won't happen until we get a scare. It's like a heart attack.
Still, the new earthquake warning system might be a chance to monitor seismic palpitations. I'm Bill Lasher in Portland.
This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News.